What's going on, family? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. And I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite, also known as King Flex, also known as Tariq Nasheed. So glad to have everybody tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. Today's show is brought to you by the movie 7 a.m., which will be released nationwide January 17th, 2015. You guys can get more information at 7ammovie.com. That's my man Jason Black's movie. This movie is breaking down the economic game and the importance of group economics and the importance of having an economic base in the Black community. So it's a very important documentary film to go see when it comes out. And again, that's 7 a.m. That's the name of the movie. And you go to 7ammovie.com, ladies and gentlemen. And today's show is also brought to you by TariqElite.com. That's where you can get all that fresh fly gear. Wintertime is upon us. It's cold and chilly out there. It's time to get those Tariq Elite boots. Get them right now at TariqElite.com. And do not forget to get the films Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3 at HiddenColorsFilm.com, ladies and gentlemen. Shout out to all my international players, my international brothers and sisters. I might be doing a lecture in Amsterdam in December 8th and 9th. We're finalizing everything now. So all of my brothers and sisters and my listeners out there in Amsterdam and in Holland, in that area, I will be out there pretty soon. We're finalizing everything. So we are like 99.9% sure that I will be in Amsterdam doing a couple of lectures on December 8th and December 9th, 2014. I think they got some television appearances for me out there as well. I will keep you guys posted on that. Follow me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed to get details on that. And I'm going to have a ball out there. I haven't been to Amsterdam before. I've been to certain parts of Europe, but I have not been to Amsterdam. And I have a big audience out there in Amsterdam. So the game is going to be heavy. The game is going to be real fly. We're going to be talking about racism globally. And they're bringing me out there to spit that hot fire. And hot fire I will spit, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I'm not going to go too much into the Aaliyah movie. We talked about that on my Sunday's Ustream show. But the backlash for that horrible Aaliyah movie that was on the Lifetime channel, the backlash was more entertaining than the actual film. It's very rare that a film can be so bad that the backlash becomes the entertainment. And people made thousands of memes and pictures clowning the film. And again, I'm not going to go into my rant that I went into on Sunday. If you want to know what I felt about the film, go to my live Ustream show playbacks. And you guys can go to Tariq Live or Tariq Radio to check those out. But from what I understand, I think they're going to try to get a real Aaliyah movie in theaters later on in 2015. And I hope they do that, because that movie on Lifetime was very disrespectful to the memory of Aaliyah. And the problem that a lot of people had with the movie was the casting. The casting director seemed to just throw in the towel and not give a damn about what any of the people really, really looked like. And the biggest complaint was the person they got to play Missy Elliott. It was some young lady playing Missy Elliott in the mid-90s, and the chick was real skinny, and it just looked like you didn't give two dams about casting the movie properly, because they know good and well they could have gotten somebody else to play Missy Elliott. They could have put a finger wave on Sherry Shepherd and let her play Missy Elliott from 1996. There was no excuse for them to miscast the movie the way they miscast it. They had the dude who played R. Kelly didn't look like R. Kelly. The dude who's supposed to be Damon Dash, this dude looked like Chico DeBarge. Everybody was just off. But again, we have to call people out when they are supposed to represent us and our lives, and they don't put the heart and the work into it. And just because they got a Black producer on board, that doesn't mean that producer's getting the green light to go ahead and approve the final product. Because I would hate to believe that Wendy Williams was that negligent in the final approving process. So, but again, I might be overcomping Sadie her with credit. I don't know. She just might be that delinquent as far as not paying attention to the details. But that movie was horrible. And to have your name attached to it, hey, man, all the blame goes on you. If they're putting your name out there as the executive producer, and a lot of times what they'll do, people will produce a film and put a black face on it and say, okay, this person is an executive producer, just like they did with the movie Precious. They did that with Precious. Precious was already basically produced, and what they did, they ran and got Tyler Perry and Oprah Winfrey to act as quote-unquote producers so that the movie wouldn't get a racist taint for portraying black people so janky like that. But again, when we get into these positions of being put out there in the forefront as producers of certain films, we need to make sure that everything is crisp. We need to make sure that everything is on point so that our name isn't sullied and ran through the mud. Anyway, but I digress, ladies and gentlemen. Now, shout out to all the brothers and sisters out there in the Ferguson area and just not just Ferguson, but nationwide, because right now people are still waiting on the decision in the Darren Wilson situation. Officer Darren Wilson, the man who murdered teen Mike Brown. And people are waiting on the decision. There's a strong militaristic force out there in Ferguson right now. They got the tanks and the armored vehicles and the helicopters. It's almost like a prepared war zone. And it's very interesting to see the depths that people will go to maintain systematic white supremacy. Because that's what white supremacy really boils down to. White supremacy boils down to we can do what we want and we have the military muscle to back up what we want to do. And this is what the white supremacists are doing. They're showing their stand of force. Because we know what happened to Mike. It was an injustice. There's just no way to justify shooting that young man the many times who's unarmed, and you're talking about his self-defense. So we know that even the eyewitnesses and all these people, their stories are corroborated. They all said that the man had his hands up. So there's just no justification for shooting him that many times. There's just none. You don't shoot an unarmed person multiple times like that. But again, I'm not going to try to argue the case. I'm preaching to the choir. Again, when we're dealing with white supremacy, they will make up their own rules as they go along, and they have the military to try to back it up. So this is a very pivotal moment for us in this country. And also, you got to understand this, the reason why there is such a force out there in the Ferguson area right now, and not just the Ferguson area, but nationwide, because, you know, this is a national threat, because this decision could pop off other civil uprisings around the country. Other neighborhoods and areas can get turned up off this information. That's a very high possibility. And the reason why a lot of that military force is down there in the St. Louis, Ferguson area is because outside forces, outside of the U.S., enemies of the U.S., could use this as an opportunity to launch an attack. Whenever you have a civil, and when we talk about civil, that means a nation within a nation, per se, having a beef with each other, outside forces can always come in and exploit that, because that weakens you. When you're having a domestic dispute, that weakens your home. When people within a country, people who are supposed to be within a community, are infighting, and in this situation, I won't even say it's fighting, it's just black people being subjugated by white supremacy again. But now black people are starting to fight back a little bit and say, hey, look, enough is enough. When you have that type of unrest, again, that leaves the whole country vulnerable for an outside attack. So if somebody, for example, I'm just throwing an example, North Korea, Saudi Arabia, whatever country wants to take a shot at the U.S., this would be a great opportunity for them to do that. And the government knows this. So this is why the force is so strong out there militaristically. So It's a sad day that this country is willing to risk national security and the threat of being attacked from other countries, all for the name of maintaining white supremacy, to protect this one rogue suspected white supremacist cop. Because all they had to do is do the right thing, arrest this guy, charge him for murder, because that's exactly what he did. But we're talking about systematic white supremacy, and the white supremacists, they've been waiting to flex their muscles for a long time. So this is a very important moment for us in this country. And playtime is over, and I've been doing a lot of interviews talking about this. This is why it's so important for Black people to empower themselves. And when we start talking about empowerment, a lot of Black folks don't want to hear that. See, we are very reactionary. We like to react to certain things. And when you react to certain things, you put yourself at a disadvantage. We should always be on top of our empowerment game. That should be a daily occurrence. But the thing is, we play around and joke around and BS around with systematic white supremacy. And white supremacy, they don't mess around and joke around with us. They're always daily strengthening themselves, figuring out ways to empower themselves and disenfranchise us. So it's very important that we start to get that code of conduct so we can empower ourselves. Go to melanoidnation.org. Melanoidnation.org, ladies and gentlemen, support that. We're out there trying to be advocates for human rights of melanoid people all around the country and all around the world. And support that, support local Black businesses. There's a lot of stuff that we need to do, and I'm not trying to get too deep on that. I just wanted to throw that out there. Speaking of Ferguson, I was looking at Fox News the other night. Well, yesterday, I think it was yesterday. And I was just kind of flicking the channels, and there was Sean Hannity. You know, they're doing their little propaganda piece. They had a couple of cops on there from other states, and they had some person, some brother on there. I think he represents some organization called Justice for Mike Brown. And Sean Hannity was just making a fool out of this dude. And the guy, Sean, was just debunking a lot of the stuff the dude had to say, and the dude wasn't that articulate. And that's another thing. A lot of people, man, we got to stop just wanting to be in front of the camera just for the sake of being in front of the camera. We need to get people out there who can really articulate what needs to be articulated as far as what needs to be done and what needs to be said. Because they put these little mush mouth dudes on television. Fox News, they know exactly who to pick. They pick people who they know are not that articulate. And then Sean Hannity and those people beat up on them verbally. And they look like they're misrepresenting the Black community. So we got to stop falling for that trick. This dude was just getting smashed. He couldn't hardly talk. He was just looking real goofy and just, you know, that type of shit. But again, I partially blame him, and I blame the news networks, because they know who to put on. They know to put on somebody more articulate, but they don't want to be debunked. They don't want nobody to show out on them on their own network. So they pick either coons, or they pick people who just can't articulate themselves and they can easily debunk. So that's why it's very important for us to have our own alternative media. And if we don't have our networks, at least have our own alternative websites such as melanoidnation.org and other sites like that to really get the message out and tell the truth and articulate the truth of what we need to get out there. Shout out to the brothers and sisters who've been writing for the Melanoid Nation website. Shout out to those brothers. There have been great articles submitted by our brothers and sisters who are helping out with the website. And we're bringing that heat on melanoidnation.org. But again, we got to understand how when we see people on television, there's a very deliberate reason why they're on television. You don't let random people on television. When you see a person on television, they're on there for a reason. And they're on there to promote a certain agenda. And the white supremacists, they know who to put on and who not to put on. And this brings us into the Bill Cosby situation. Now, this whole situation with Bill Cosby has blown all the way the hell up. Now, for those who don't know, Bill Cosby, legendary comedian, is now being ran through the ringer with a plethora of rape allegations. A lot of women are coming out the woodworks, blaming and accusing Bill Cosby of rape. And the interesting thing about these situations, some of these so-called rape accusations allegedly took place 30 and 40 years ago. There was one woman who said Bill Cosby raped her in 1969. So you got all these people coming out of the woodworks talking about Bill Cosby raped them. And the media outlets, they're blaming this on a comedian named Hannibal Buress. Now, most of you have never heard of Hannibal Buress. And there's a reason why. He's a marginal comedian. C-list comedian. I've seen some of his stuff. He's aight. But just a random road stand-up comic. A few weeks ago, he did a comedy routine and he was talking about Bill Cosby. He said, well, Bill Cosby, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit. He was saying, well, Bill Cosby is always finger wagging and telling black people what to do, but Bill has a whole bunch of rape charges against him. So, it was a funny routine, I guess. I mean, comedy is comedy. You know, you don't look too much into comedy. Certain people say certain things. The comedy stage is sacred, so it is what it is. But what's interesting is that certain media outlets chose, listen to the word I'm using, chose to take a bit of that stand-up routine and run with it. Now, why did they choose to run with that information? Again, Hannibal Buress is not some household name. It's not like Chris Rock said it. So they chose to run with that information. Now, these media outlets, let me tell you something. They knew about all of the so-called rape allegations. Of course they knew about them. They already knew about them. So this Hannibal guy, he wasn't breaking any news that the media outlets didn't know. He wasn't breaking any information. He wasn't opening up a can of worms that the media outlets didn't know. But all of a sudden, this guy, Hannibal, makes these comments. Then all of a sudden, all these random women start popping up on all of these international news outlets. Do you honestly think these women popped out of the woodwork because of Hannibal Buress? I'm gonna let you think about that for about 2 seconds. Do you honestly think all of these random white women popped out of the woodwork because of the Hannibal Buress stand-up routine? No. The media had these women waiting on the sidelines. This was kind of planned. Let me tell you why this was planned. They've been waiting to throw Bill under the bus for a minute. And this is another thing where the white supremacists are showing you that we don't even need the Boulé crowd. See, Bill Cosby is part of the Black Boulé. The Black Boulé, they've always been that buffer class between the average black community and the white community. They've always been the buffer. So they're letting the Boulé people know we don't even need the Boulé black folks no more. We're willing to throw them under the bus. Just like Sharpton. Sharpton is getting, he's a Boulé guy. And when I say Boulé, I mean they're literally in an organization called the Boulé. Sharpton is a Boulé guy. They're trying to get Sharpton on taxes now, so they're throwing him under the bus. But Bill Cosby got set up. He got set up heavy. They set him up real heavy. And let me tell you how they set him up. Now, Bill Cosby, years ago, you know, he very wealthy brother. He was America's dad and all that good stuff. Bill Cosby was trying to buy NBC back in the day. He was trying to buy NBC. They kept warning him, hey, man, you know, we know it's up for sale, but we ain't letting you get it. And Bill was like, hey, I want to buy NBC. I want to get it. I got the money. I want to get it. And remember how the white supremacists work. The white supremacists, they don't share power with you. They don't share power with black folks. They don't give a damn how much money you have. It's all about power and control of resources with them. It's all about power with them and maintaining white supremacy. So every now and then you might get a black person who tries to buy into their system and they get rude awakenings. And when Bill Cosby kept trying to buy NBC and buy these networks, they kind of sent him a message. And a lot of people are saying the reason why his son was killed, Ennis, back in the 90s, was a warning shot. And when you look at the case with his son getting killed out here in Los Angeles, his son gets randomly killed. which is very unfortunate. I'm not saying that to be insensitive. I'm just trying to talk about history, what happened here. But certain things have to raise certain flags. When Enes Cosby got killed, they said it was a robbery. But when they found Enes Cosby on the side of the 405 freeway, he had $1,000 in his pocket. He had a Rolex watch on, and he had a brand new car with the keys still in the ignition. What the hell kind of robbery was that? Do you really think that was a robbery? But I digress. But the point is, the dominant society is all about maintaining power, and racism, white supremacy, is all about keeping resources away from black folks, not allowing you to pass wealth and resources down. You understand that? The white supremacists kind of go out of their way to keep black people from passing those resources down. And when they slander certain black people, especially black people who have basically tap danced, and I'm not saying Bill tap dance, but I'm just giving an example. People who remain non-threatening to the system of white supremacy, people who bow down to the system of white supremacy, it's very hard to drag them without being criticized yourself. So you have to drag them and slander them at the right moment and for the right reason. That's how powerful the media is. And with Cosby, again, he's been America's dad for years. The Jell-O Pudding Pop guy, non-threatening to whites. He's the black man that the white people would want to bring home. He's the ideal black citizen, the whole nine yards. But again, that is never going to stop you from getting your white supremacy lottery number called. The white supremacist lottery, and y'all go back and listen to the show I did on that, is very real. And if you are a non-white person, your number can get called no matter how non-threatening you are, no matter how much you bow down to white supremacy, no matter how you assisted white supremacy, your number can still be called. And Bill was getting set up. In 2004, Bill wasn't, you know, he's been sitting on his money for a long time, but around 2004, when Bill did this speech, it's called the Pound Cake Speech. It's now known infamously as the Pound Cake Speech. When Bill did that speech in 2004, Bill wasn't too relevant as far as media-wise. You know, he's, you know, got the Cosby Show reruns and all this stuff, but as far as just being out there in the spotlight, Bill wasn't that relevant in pop culture in 2004. And that's another thing. When older black men, when black men get older, they always want to feel relevant. It's very difficult for older black men who's been put up on a pedestal and people have praised you, and now you still got your money, but your star ain't shining like it used to. People are not giving you the props and accolades, and you're not out there in the spotlight like you used to be. People are not really bowing down to you like they used to. Like in the 80s and 90s, we damn near bowed down to Bill Cosby. Even in the 70s, brothers and sisters bowed down to Bill Cosby. We represented Bill Cosby. He was our guy. So in 2004, you know, it was a whole new day. So a lot of black people weren't shitting on Bill Cosby, but a lot of people weren't just putting him on a pedestal anymore. And Bill did a speech in 2004 where he came out criticizing lower class, so-called uneducated black people. These people don't know how to speak. They don't pull their pants up. You know, he was this real finger wagging type of criticism of lower income black people. So he started doing that. He went on this rant, this old black man rant, and the white supremacists jumped on that. They jumped on that and they started promoting that, and he started getting media attention again for criticizing black people. They started putting him on television, and he became relevant in the spotlight again. They were glad to put him back out there to reprimand black people. And that became his shtick for a minute. He kind of kept doing it because he said basically to himself, okay, this is what's getting me spotlight. Let me continue to do it. And there are a lot of black people who criticized him. Michael Eric Dyson wrote a book criticizing that type of narrative because Bill would point the finger and criticize and reprimand black people, but Bill would never acknowledge the circumstances that created the black underclass, which is systematic white supremacy. And that's a problem that I've always had with people who do that old finger wagging, all these black people, pull your pants up. That nonsense about if we pull our pants up, that's going to stop white supremacy. Again, y'all know I don't like that. I don't play that game. Because that's what the white supremacists want us to do. They want us to sit up and blame each other for them orchestrating white supremacy. And it doesn't work like that. And that's a grave mistake that black people keep making, including Bill Cosby. And what happened with Bill, he kept doing these little speeches reprimanding the black community. And it got to a point where a lot of black people start saying, okay, well, let me just let you do you, Bill. We started backing off Bill Cosby. Bill just kept going on these rants, and we said, okay, Bill, if that's what it is, well, then that's what it is. We'll let you do you. So what Bill was doing, he began to isolate himself from the black masses. And the white supremacists, they understand this full well. That's why they will give you all the rope you need to hang yourself. When the white supremacists see that you're trying to gain favor with them and shit on other black people, they will give you all the airtime, they'll give you all the spotlight you need, they will give you all the rope you need to hang yourself. So they were letting Bill go out there and isolate himself from his base. And that's a major problem. When you start getting on this high road, I'm better than you other blacks, y'all need to learn how to talk and speak. When you start doing that, you start isolating yourself from people within your community, and you think that you're going to be some type of substitute white supremacist, that's not going to work, because they're going to give you a rude awakening. And that's exactly what they did. They gave him a rude awakening. And when this Hannibal dude came out saying what he was saying, the white supremacists used that as a great cover to go ahead and throw Bill under the bus. So now when the white supremacists start throwing Bill Cosby under the bus and bringing out all these random white women with these rape charges, which is some old stereotypical nonsense. That's the oldest slander charge they can do with black men, charge them of rape or accuse them of rape, whether it's true or not. Now you reduce him just to being a regular old stereotypical Negro. And now the white supremacists, when they do this, they don't look like the racists they really are. They don't look like the racists they really are. They keep blaming Hannibal Buress. If you look at the news stories and the articles, they keep saying this. They keep trying to reiterate the Bill Cosby slander started with Hannibal Buress. They keep saying that, and that's bullshit. Hannibal Buress didn't have anything to do with it. They just use Hannibal as the excuse they needed to slander Bill because they wanted to do it anyway. Because the name of the game is to not allow you to pass your wealth down correctly. Let me break it down like this. Black entertainers really just started making mega, mega millions of dollars fairly recently. Black entertainers really just started making mega millions of dollars basically in the 1970s. It started in the late 60s, but really in the 1970s. And for athletes, for them to start making a lot of money, that started in the 80s and 90s, the late 80s, early 90s. So, black entertainers making a lot of money is relatively new. So, there hasn't been any real transference of the wealth, because it's a relatively new thing. So the new generation is coming in. The new generation is just now coming in who is supposed to receive that wealth that's passed down from all of these wealthy entertainers. But you notice a lot of these entertainers, something happens to them that will stop that wealth from being passed down to another black generation. So the white supremacists, they play chess and we're out here playing checkers. let's look at some of our entertainers. Like, look at Michael Jackson. When Michael Jackson died, there was this whole argument about his estate. Even before he died, there was this argument about his estate. Where is his estate going to go? Where's the money going to go? And even now, that's up in the air. His family, the Jackson family, they're still bickering with other people about the money and the estate of Michael Jackson. You see, they're not going to let him pass that wealth down. Because again, a lot of black people are in situations where they are isolated. See, the white supremacists will isolate you and then flood you with money, flood you with wealth, flood you with accolades, and right before you check out of here, they find a way to take all of that back. See, this is why we got to learn how to empower ourselves to a certain degree, so that we're not sitting around waiting on the dominant society to pick us, to shower us with accolades and wealth. We have an economic base so we can empower ourselves economically. Because the thing is that the dominant society can give it, they can take it from you as well. Just like the case with Whitney Houston. Whitney Houston, they were going on and on about her estate. Whitney had a lot of money. She died under nefarious reasons. And her estate is up in question. What's going to happen with that money? Same thing with Bill Cosby. With Bill Cosby, this man has been America's dad for damn near 50 years. He's sitting on hundreds of millions of dollars. This man is almost 80 years old, so he ain't going to be here too much longer. And the Bill Cosby brand is something that his offspring could make money off of. You understand that? Your brand is very important. You spend your whole life building this brand. Now, all of a sudden, this brand is being torn down methodically. So now, all of a sudden, Bill Cosby, 77 years old, they done wheeled out a whole bunch of people who said he raped them back in the damn 60s. They got this chick, Janice Dickinson, who's a known drug addict. She was a judge on America's Top Model, just real out there. She was talking about Bill raped her. All of these people so-called got raped, but didn't press charges, didn't file charges. I mean, so all of it is very fishy and suspicious. Again, we don't know for sure what happened. Did he do it or did he not do it? He was never charged for a lot of this stuff. But what we do know is that people will lie, especially when it comes to a black man. And when you have a situation where media outlets have given the green light to people to say, hey, come on, give your claim, we'll give you all the spotlights you need, and you can cash in on this now. Because we're going to have to look at it for what it is. This is an opportunity for people, if you want to tell a lie, you can kind of cash in right now. Because these media outlets are choosing to put these people on the air. Listen to the word I'm saying, choosing. They're choosing to put these people on the air. Whether they are, the claims are substantiated or not, they're choosing to put these people on the air. Because people make rape claims and domestic violence claims against celebrities all the time. All the time. But a lot of the media outlets just choose not to put them on television. They choose who to slander and who not to slander. There are so many sexual assault cases by white entertainers. I can sit here all day and name them. You know, people like Roman Polanski, and I've talked about that before, they protect him. The Hollywood system, they protect him. But I digress. I don't want to get into naming all of them. I'll be here all day. But there's so many people in the Hollywood system with sexual assault cases who are protected. And they know who these people are. But they don't drag them like that. And the thing is, they're just letting anybody with any baseless allegation against Bill Cosby get on the air. And I'm not saying this, I'm not trying to be a defender of Bill Cosby, because again, he set himself up by sitting up here criticizing black people back to back to back to back, talking about all we need to do is pull our pants up and it's not the white supremacists, it ain't white people, it's you, you can't talk. Now all of a sudden they're dragging Bill Cosby. Bill, your pants were pulled up. You could speak good English. You have a degree. You have wealth. And the white supremacists are still treating you like they treat the average so-called uneducated Negro. So we keep trying to play this game with white supremacy and make excuses for white supremacy. But white supremacy trumps all of that pants pulling up. Because after you pull your pants up, you still got to challenge white supremacy. after you articulate yourself, you still have to challenge white supremacy. After you get married and have kids and stop having kids out of wedlock, you still got to deal with white supremacy. So all of these deflections, I don't get into that. I stay focused on what the white supremacists are doing and what we can do to replace the system of white supremacists with the system of justice. So we got to understand how the game is played out here. And again, some of these women out here making these claims, honestly, a lot of these women I don't believe. But right now, they're letting these women know, if you come up here with a claim, you can get book deals. Because again, the slander is, you can get a payoff from slandering people. A lot of times people will just pay you off to keep their names, you know, out of the spotlight. Now, the green light is out there for any white woman who ever knew Bill Cosby to come on out, stake a claim, and they're giving these women primetime interviews, possibly book deals. Y'all wait, there's some book deals going to be popping out real soon. People are probably out here scrambling, getting book deal money. So this is how white supremacy works. White supremacy is a system, and the white supremacists know how to jump on board and get on the same page with each other and use these old stereotypes against us, no matter how much money you have. So the white supremacists, they got a code of conduct. We're the ones who, we don't have a code of conduct. We're out here playing games with the white supremacists. And again, man, it's all about not allowing black folks, when they give you wealth, they try to make sure that you don't pass that wealth down. That's why a lot of athletes, when athletes get paper, they deliberately bring white women around them, because they want to get that money funneled back into white society. I have a lot of friends who are athletes. They tell me they bring white women around those dudes. White women come around those dudes like heavy. The white women are damn near forced on them brothers. See, there's a big misconception that when brothers get money, that they go chasing the white women. The white women go chasing the brothers. When they get some paper, the white women come out hard and heavy. And these managers and accountants and these lawyers and these coaches, they start bringing these brothers around where these certain white women will be. Because again, they'll sacrifice a couple of white women to make a win for the overall team. Because white supremacy is a group team sport. And everybody knows how to play their positions among the white supremacists. But we sit up here and try to play this divisive game and point the finger at each other and criticize each other, thinking that we're not going to get our white supremacist lottery number called. Now, Bill Cosby, he's in a situation now where these allegations, it's just destroying his brand. This man might not be here any, you know, he might not be living any longer. I'm not trying to wish death on the brother, but I'm just saying he's an older gentleman. He's resting on his brand, and they're right before he's dying, right before he dies, they're going to just tarnish and diminish his brand. Now, they wouldn't do that to like a person like George Burns or Bob Hope, some of these old legendary white comics that were around for years. These dudes, they've been around for years. They would never tarnish their image, even though they knew of scandals that they were in. Even when Rock Hudson died, when he died of AIDS back in the 80s, Rock Hudson was still loved. They didn't drag Rock Hudson in the mud, and they knew that Rock Hudson was gay and all that old stuff, and he died of AIDS, but they didn't drag that man through the mud. They still honored him to a certain degree. But that's just an example. But what with Bill, they're destroying that man's brand. They're destroying that brother's brand, and Bill should not have sat up here and allowed them to give him the spotlight to shit on other black people like that, because he's out there by himself right now. And remember, this ain't got nothing to do with that Hannibal dude. Nothing. They're just using Hannibal as an excuse to shit on Bill Cosby. So this just lets you know, black people, your lottery number can be picked anytime. They're dropping. Bill Cosby had a new show that he was going to do on NBC. They didn't drop that show. I think TV Land, they're talking about dropping his reruns. Look at that. You see how they tearing his brand up to the point where they're dropping his Cosby Show reruns, which is a major residual money maker. The white supremacists, they have no problem shitting on your brand if it's going to maintain white supremacy, so you can't pass that down to anybody. This is why family, again, we got to learn and get into the habit of empowering ourselves, because the white supremacists, this is a war that they're playing. This is a war that they're engaged in, and they're constantly coming up with ways to disenfranchise us. And we're sitting up here being silly, pointing the finger at each other, reprimanding each other, and not focusing on what we all need to be focusing on is systematic white supremacy and how to replace that with a system of justice. Again, that's been today's show, everybody. Don't forget to go to melanoidnation.org. Go to melanoidnation.org. Make your donation. You should make donations every week. We're bringing that heat. Don't forget to go to hiddencolorsfilm.com to get the movies Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3. Follow me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed. I will holler at you this Sunday on Ustream. Peace.